It is now 90 minutes before 9 Central African Time here on Under the Radar, Radio Islam International. Before the Adhan break, we had the introductory part of some very interesting and very informative discussions and taking the story of Dr. Afia Siddiqui to the mainstream. It's been with us for, well, over 15 years now, and great to obviously see that many more people are talking about it. That was one part of the discussion that took place on Thursday at the East Plano Masjid in the United States of America. And there's more to come on that discussion, which we'll bring you in the second hour of the show, where we'll hear from an attorney who's representing Afia Siddiqui directly and had this opportunity to physically, obviously with some barriers in between, meet Afia Siddiqui. And for many people who've been following this case, what has been very traumatic, obviously more so for the family, is the lack of communication, lack of authoritative information on what's happening with this particular case. So it obviously comes at a great relief that this attorney is able to share with the public in a bit more detail exactly what is the condition of Dr. Afia Siddiqui. Let's shift, though, now to talk about something that is a big talking point in the United Kingdom at the moment, and that is the so-called nationality and borders bill. So an article in the New Statesman just a few days ago said that a huge number of people would be eligible to have their British citizenship removed without warning under the government's forthcoming nationality and borders bill. Now, writing in a piece on Open Democracy, Samantha Asamandu from the group Diversified Media, or Media Diversified, excuse me, says that what we need right now is people to be informed about the heinous Nationality and Borders Bill, whose aim is to introduce harsh reforms to the UK's asylum system, and has a great possibility that it would impact many people who have their origins outside the United Kingdom. It would affect their family and friends, and in order to fight it, people need to be informed. What's the implications of this particular bill? What's it all about? A bit of insight right now with Sheikh Suleiman Ghani, Imam out in the United Kingdom. Sheikh, Jazakallah khairan for your time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan, Ibrahim Musa, for having me in your program.
Shukran, Sheikh, for speaking to us this evening. Before we go into that, I just want to perhaps to veer off a bit and hear from you. South Africans at the moment a bit starved for choice when it comes to travel or holiday season. You recently had some beautiful opportunities, despite pandemic conditions, to go to Bosnia, to go to for Umrah as well, very, very briefly. Just some thoughts on this trip, Sheikh.
Yeah, subhanAllah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we were able to travel. It was my first trip, actually, almost 2 years had gone by. Normally in the month of October, we set out to Bosnia, and there was a lot of hesitancy for my people who normally would want to travel. But given that, you know, it has now become part of any journey that one undertakes, a lot of extra requirements, a lot of restrictions, and especially to have the vaccination certification, all this needs to be presented even before travel, and there's a lot of rigorous checking even on the return from Bosnia in Austria. So you cannot even board a flight. This has become the new norm. And people have to get used to traveling in such a manner. It's lots of challenges. And also with the Umrah, alhamdulillah, although we were able to travel and be in Medina and Mecca, but it may be maybe a little advantage for government or the Saudi Kingdom now using this as creating a lot of restrictions even when visiting and sending salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other than that, we were able to perform all these salawat inside Masjid al-Nabawi, as well as we were able to do enter Masjid al-Haram for every prayer. There is no difficulty. What needs is a new system of the booking and the update. Tawakkalna, if one wants to perform the Umrah, That way, in the Mataf area, on the ground floor, everyone has to be in the state of Ihram. So one may be performing just Tawaf, but he will be wearing probably the Ihram, as this, the application may sometimes allow to book for another Umrah. So with all the challenges, restrictions in place, I think it was an amazing, great feeling to be there after a long period of absence, to be in Mecca and to stand in front of the Kaaba. A lot of changes happening around the city of Mecca and in different areas. There's a lot of promotion of tourism, entertainment, and that is great concern and worrying. But when you are there in front of the inside the masjid and in Medina, you know, you still get that amazing magnetic pull, the spirituality and upliftment around that areas. But Allah Ta'ala make it easy and protect us all. Allah make it easy for those who are intending to set out. We do encourage you. Yes, one should undertake this amazing, great journey. It has a great impact on a people after a long time hesitancy to travel. Makes a lot of challenges, especially for elderly, for people who are not aware how to use the booking system, especially when they want to go freely. So there will come a lot of challenges even whilst one is there. We don't know what will be the condition of a person in case. What if he has to lose his phone, his gadget? So it seems like it is driving a people to use the technology. It comes with a lot of challenges. But alhamdulillah, we really enjoyed our journey and were able to see a few other places with part of the reviving the seerah and sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, easily to travel to Taif and also to take the different route and visit Al-Badr, where we witnessed the many of the companions who lie buried in the first battle of Islam. So I think this is something quite new that people will have to start getting to adjust, but Allah Ta'ala make it easy. With regard to Bosnia, I would really recommend that people travel and visit Bosnia, especially Srebrenica, where we visit the memorial, the burial ground in Bosnia, in Srebrenica, when the Muslims were, you know, in the years 92 to 95, when the genocide and the massacre took place, over 10,000 Muslims, young Bosniaks, were killed in that area. But throughout the area in Bosnia and Herzegovina, we know that over 200,000 Muslims were killed. A lot of challenges in Bosnia. There is a great, again, attention where it's the only country in the world that we know there are three presidents and each one, you know, in power for 6 months, but it creates a lot of difficulties for the people in Bosnia. But at the same time, there has been a revival. When you visit the masajid and you are in Sarajevo, it really gives you a great feeling as if though you're walking in the streets of Jerusalem, and you are able to offer your prayer, listen to the azan, enjoy the Jum'ah prayers. An amazing feeling. You know, here you have in the Balkans, the European Muslims, and able to, over the 2,000 imams that are imams in different masajid there in Bosnia and Herzegovina, have graduated there. There is a university also in Sarajevo. And, you know, it gives you the feeling of as if though you are in Istanbul or in Turkey, to, you know, you know, the style and the recitation and the feeling and the atmosphere, really amazing. A country to visit and a lot to gain from the people, the suffering, the pain, the genocide, as well as seeing the beauty of this amazing local place, you know, with its scenic landmarks. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the people, especially during these times where there is, again, tension has increased there amongst the Bosnians, the Serbs, and the Croats. One should never forget that over 25 years have gone by. It's not very long ago. So for the minds and the hearts of the people living there, it's very difficult to something just to forget. Allah make it easy.
Indeed, Sheikh, Jazakallah khairan for that beautiful as well as detailed description of your recent trips that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed you with. Now, the Nationality and Borders Bill, in brief, what does this bill set out to do and why has there been an outcry amongst various groups in the United Kingdom towards this bill?
Yeah, I think this is the, you know, you will find many commentators, journalists, and many an organization have come together. And there is this claim that this is the most racist legislation we are witnessing that is already in discussion and will be discussed on the 5th of January in the House of Lords. So thousands of people have called for this nationality and borders bill to be scrapped. This is a bill which will have an impact on a people, especially for those whom have dual citizenship. There is greater anger even on one of the clause of this bill, clause 9, which means that there is now depriving any person of citizenship. It exempts the government from having even to give a notification, to give notice of removing that person's citizenship. So this is another clause in the bill that is now going to have a great impact on many individuals. It simply means that one can be stripped of his citizenship. It simply means that there doesn't need to be any warning to be given. And who will really be impacted are the millions. We are being informed that about 6 million people may be impacted, and it may disproportionately affect the millions of the black, Asian, and minority ethnic citizens. So there have been MPs, they have approved the bill when it went through its third reading. That only happened earlier this month. So much of criticism, but despite all the criticism, yet we find that it has been gone through the House of Commons. Now it will be going through the House of Lords and is going to be debated again for the second reading, which is around the, you have the different stages even before a law gets passed in Parliament and before it gets its royal assent on the 5th of January. So time is passing by very fast. We need people to understand the serious impact this bill is going to have on the millions of citizens living here in the UK. So that is what the great worry is. How can a people understand that this is the, you know, the Home Secretary has been given such powers, especially when we think about many people like who have traveled, even to Syria, for example. If the Home Secretary decides to revoke or cancel any person's citizenship, it doesn't even have to go to a court, a tribunal. The High Court does not have to interfere. It is so serious, giving her almost all power to make that decision and to take away the citizenship of any person, which we are learning to may impact about over 6 million Britons who are born elsewhere, or probably one may just have another nationality. So who makes the decision doesn't even have to go to the court, and this is really serious implication, taking away the freedom of over about 6 million Britons living here.
So, Sheikh, what would be the thinking behind something like this? If this could be the potential outcome, you know, so many people being stripped of their citizenship, whether that happens or not, but it obviously raises that possibility. The people will get down to draft this legislation, write this legislation, and pass this legislation. What's the kind of thinking on their mind, and does this give us a bad feel about what they might have in mind, perhaps for the future demographics of Britain?
What we are learning, if this bill is gone through the House of Lords and it just makes it criminal offence to arrive in the UK without permission. It simply means a person can be sentenced. It lets UK to send asylum seekers to another country. So people who are many refugees, as we know, many countries in the world have been impacted, whether in Syria, you know, refugees that are traveling and making their way on the shores of the UK. They could be on the boat. It just gives them the Home Secretary Priti Patel by introducing this bill. It still simply means that the people whom even are seeking asylum, they also can be impacted. They would not even be allowed to land on the shores of Britain, and this is very, very serious. It means people can be, if a boat has to capsize in the sea, nobody goes to save them, and nobody is going to be held responsible. So one is citizenship stripping. It can take place. They may just give it and say that this is for the interest of the public and everything will be connected to national security or counterterrorism. So that is what the worry and concern is, that how can you introduce such a bill? It's going to have such an impact on a people. Person can be abroad in another country, like the case of Shamima Begum, for example. She went to Syria, she was only 15 years of age. Her citizenship was removed. And, there was this thing actually went to the Supreme Court, and it was actually a judgment was passed that she could not return to the UK. She could not challenge her, depriving her of her citizenship. She could not defend herself. So while her case is still far, to be heard, and now you have this new bill that's the national borders of security. All this bill is really depriving a people of British citizenship even before the order was made. We had already this issue on about Shamima Begum. So you can really see that it gives the government such enormous power. So much power that they could take away the citizenship of any British citizen who have a nationality of another, a dual nationality of another country, or a person could have been born anywhere. It can just deprive him of his citizenship. So it means that, like, a person who was naturalized in this country, he could be made stateless. And what is the greatest danger? He does not even have to be informed. So if a person is just made stateless, how can this be, it's the highest, I would think it is really racist, and it is going to have serious consequences if it really becomes a law, especially with the clause of 9 and the people that are campaigning and many organizations now coming together. It's empowering this Home Secretary, simply to put it, just depriving any British citizen of their nationality. That's the main concern. If a citizen here has another dual nationality, it just makes somebody completely stateless. And what about those people who are coming as asylum seekers? What is going to be their consequence? And how, it's like making somebody statelessness. So what are the reasonable Absolutely. Grounds? It's really, we cannot understand. Yes.
Indeed, and I understand as well, Sheikh, we're out of time, but obviously as part of the ongoing move against this, dozens of groups representing thousands of people, including the Muslim community, gathered today outside Downing Street to oppose this law, which you've described in great detail. Obviously, worrying signs. One would be its narrow application, one could be its broad application, and how it could be weaponized going forward. I thank you so much for your time and the updates on the law, as well as other interesting report packs. Shukran for your time, Sheikh, and all the best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh Suleiman Ghani on the line from the United Kingdom. Let's hop over for the news.